You're listening to an audio zine produced by The Ex-Worker.
For more free audio zines and regular episodes of our podcasts, check us out at crimethink.com.
The Ex-Worker. For everyone who dreams of a life off the clock.
Welcome back to The Ex-Worker. As we record this episode, Italian anarchist prisoner Alfredo Cospito has been on hunger strike for over 100 days, demanding his release from the brutal regime of solitary confinement and severe restrictions known as 41 bis. Despite the mobilization of anarchist and radical networks across Italy in solidarity, as well as actions in support across the world, the Italian state stubbornly refuses to acknowledge his protest, and Alfredo's life is in severe danger. In this episode, we share three short pieces that introduce you to Alfredo Cospito, explain the context behind the hunger strike and the repressive prison regime in Italy, and describe anarchist efforts to challenge the state's attempt to bury our comrade. We open with a short solidarity statement about the case recently published on crimethink.com, along with the translation of a statement by Italian philosopher Donatello di Cesare, titled, Release Alfredo Now, It's a Question of Justice. And we'll conclude with an interview between Alanis and a friend from Rome who locates the hunger strike and the solidarity efforts in a broader context of anarchist activity in Italy and beyond. To read more background and the latest updates about Alfredo's case, check out the links we've got posted on our website, crimethink.com/podcasts, under episode 90. Wherever you're listening to this, we encourage you to consider ways that you can take action to put pressure on the Italian state to recognize Alfredo's demands and to push back against the nightmare of prison society. Thanks for listening. Solidarity with Alfredo Cospito, an Italian anarchist on hunger strike against solitary confinement. Since October 20th, 2022, the imprisoned Italian anarchist Alfredo Cospito has been on hunger strike, demanding to be released from solitary confinement under the 41 bis regime. As of February 3rd, 2023, he has passed 107 days without eating. In the course of the past 3.5 months, Alfredo has lost more than 90 pounds. Bobby Sands, the member of the Irish Republican Army who was elected to Parliament during his hunger strike in 1981, died after 66 days without food. At death's door, Alfredo has been transferred to a medical facility. His life hangs by a thread. Denounced by the European Convention for the Prevention of Torture and the European Court of Human Rights, the 41 bis regime isolates prisoners from all human contact save an hour-long monthly meeting with family members through a reinforced partition, during which no physical contact is possible. Alfredo is forbidden even to pin the photos of his deceased parents on the cell walls without permission from the Ministry of Justice. He and several hundred other prisoners in Italy are kept confined to cells only a few square feet, subjected to permanent sensory deprivation and cut off from all information about the outside world. The psychological effects on these prisoners have been shown to be severe. In short, they are buried alive. A prisoner in solitary confinement facing life in prison has very few options when it comes to asserting his humanity. His body, confined within steel and mortar far from the world of the living things, is the last battlefield available to him. We cannot judge the decision to stake one's life in such a situation. We cannot decide for a prisoner facing such conditions whether life is worth living. But we owe it to ourselves not to let him die in oblivion. Alfredo's strike cannot be understood simply as an attempt to sway the consciences of his captors. Even in Europe, the days when the authorities pretended to take an interest in the well-being of their subjects are long past. No one should have any illusions about how governments view the sanctity of life in the age of COVID-19, when the United States government can countenance the deaths of a million people without blushing, while the Russian government explicitly employs convicts as cannon fodder. The newly elected fascist politicians who govern Italy have no scruples about consigning whole populations to death, let alone permitting a single anarchist to die. Rather, Alfredo's strike is a message to us about the conditions prepared for all of us in an increasingly inhumane society. As it becomes common for those who hold power to treat human life as expendable, his hunger strike is a warning. If you love life, there are some conditions under which you, too, might be compelled to refuse it. Alfredo's situation represents a threat to all of us. When environmental protesters are charged with terrorism simply for occupying trees and posting on social media, it is common sense to anticipate that what is done to Alfredo today will be done to a much wider range of arrestees tomorrow. The 41 bis regime was supposedly introduced to isolate mafia kingpins, but the real purpose of all repressive laws is to enable those who rule to suppress those they govern. Because none of those who hold power today have any sort of plan regarding how to address crises that economic disparities and ecological disaster are imposing on us, their only strategy, from Italy to the United States to China, is to clamp down more and more violently on dissent. We should identify Alfredo's fate with our own. Such living graves are being constructed for us right now in Italy and elsewhere around the world. To fight for Alfredo, or else if it is too late to avenge him, is to fight for ourselves, for our freedom, confronting the inhuman regimes that will exterminate us one by one, whether by sins of commission or omission. They will go on imprisoning and killing us right up to the limits we impose by collective resistance. Preposterously, the Italian government has sought to portray itself as the victim of Alfredo's impending death. Quote, an international anarchist campaign has been orchestrated against institutions and private and public property in Italy and abroad, whines Antonio Tajani, Italian Minister of Foreign Affairs, attempting to deflect attention from the decision to bury Alfredo alive. Quote, the state must not allow itself to be intimidated by those who think of threatening its officials, declares Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, an avowed devotee of Benito Mussolini, as she prepares to celebrate Alfredo's death. We must be very clear here. The representatives of the Italian state are murderers, not victims. There have been solidarity statements and actions on three continents to bring attention to his case. Students are currently occupying the Department of Literature at the University of Sapienza in Rome in solidarity with Alfredo. There's also a support page, which we link to in the text version of this article. Below, we offer an English translation of a text by Italian philosopher Donatella di Cesare. She has previously engaged in good faith with anarchist ideas. Release Alfredo now. It's a question of justice. This is a country where there is a lot of talk about human rights when it comes to others' governments, without having the courage to cast a glance in the domestic jails, without having the conscience to denounce the many oppressions that take place right here. Right now, Alfredo Cospito is suffering a very serious abuse. Who is responsible? And who will have to answer for it in the future? The current minister, Carlo Nordio, who, although he could revoke this measure, does nothing? The Meloni government? Or by any chance would some cowardly person wish to place the blame on the detainee who is compelled to this extreme act? The transfer to the Opera Prison Hospital is in no way sufficient because it is only a temporary palliative. It is clear by now that the Cospito affair has taken on a symbolic and political value that cannot be underestimated. The culpable inaction of this government, the first post-fascist government in Mussolini's country, much to be forgiven, has the terrible taste of repugnant revenge. Cospito's body taken hostage, captured, to demonstrate farcical firmness. Despite all the interpretations of the homegrown liberals, ready to give them credit, government officials have no qualms about showing themselves to be petty fascist gendarmes. Forget the hard line, forget the blackmail. It is peculiar that there are even magistrates who use these terms. In whose hands are we? Here the terms are completely reversed. We call for Cuspido to be released from 41B's first and foremost as a matter of justice, well before as a matter of humanity. It is not just about saving a life, although this politics of death, this necropolitics, is making us completely forget the value of human life. But the point here is, why on earth is Cuspido in 41B's? What is he doing there? This question concerns everyone. Let me briefly recapitulate. For injuring an Ansaldo executive in Genoa, Cuspido was sentenced in 2013 to 10 years and 8 months. When he was already in prison, he was accused of placing two explosive devices in front of the Carabinieri Cadet School in Fossano on the night of June 2nd and 3rd, 2006, devices that caused neither deaths nor injuries. After his conviction, he was placed in the high-security prison circuit, where inmates are subject to close supervision and severe restrictions. From time to time, Cuspido sent some writings to publications in the anarchist milieu. The shift thereafter is what is being debated. The crime is reinterpreted and goes from common massacre to political massacre. Why? On what basis? A singular choice, since there were no new facts. The crime of political massacre was not applied, even for Capaci, a mafia bombing in 1992 that killed a magistrate, his wife, and three police officers, or Piazza Fontana, a far-right bombing in Milan in 1969 that killed 17 people and wounded 88. Here, Cuspido, with the endorsement of former minister Marta Cartabia, is assigned to 41B's. He ends up in a kind of sepulcher, a tomb, 1 meter and 52 centimeters wide and 2 meters and 52 centimeters long. Darkness, need for electric light, glimmers only at the top, at the surrounding wall. The cell is below sea level in Sassari prison. Hours of air only in a walled cubicle where the grating allows glimpses of the sky. Isolation, separation, elimination of even memories and of photos of family members. A kind of burial alive, of exclusion from the human community. This happens in Italy in 2023. Honestly, it becomes almost grotesque to recount the anguish of the Inquisition. We know very well that torture, a black phoenix, a practice that never ended, has taken on new forms in the democracies of the 21st century. Should we accept a state that tortures? That uses violence on a detainee's body? Because there are many ways to exercise violence, even without leaving a trace. Italy has a recent past littered with victims of police abuse. It would hardly be appropriate, not even in the interests of the Republic, to witness an announced suicide. Finally, I would like to touch on two issues that I feel have been overlooked. I will set aside 41B's. I am against it always and for everyone, but I would need another article to say that. The first issue concerns the concept of terrorism, which is dangerous and slippery. Who is a terrorist, and who decides that? We know how all the emergency legislation created in the American context and that of other European countries has revealed the violent face of democracy by producing abuses of all sorts, preventative torture, illegitimate administrative detentions, a risky path that undermines the right of every citizen. Does dissent constitute subversion? Does publishing in an anarchist magazine make one look like a terrorist? The second issue concerns the very idea of anarchy. Much more than other countries, Italy has an ambivalent relationship with it. On the one hand, Sacco and Vanzetti, the Italian anarchists Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti, were executed in the United States in 1927 in what was widely considered a travesty of justice. Almost fathers of the free and the anti-Mussolini in Italy, exponents of the great Italian anarchist tradition, without whom it would be difficult to even imagine the culture of this country. On the other hand, Valpreda and the bombs, the temptation to demonize anarchists. The Italian anarchist and novelist Pietro Valpreda was charged with the Piazza Fontana bombing and sentenced to prison. In 1987, he was acquitted when the fact that he had nothing to do with it became inescapably evident. Here, too, Italy has much to answer for. In these hours, attempts are being made to portray anarchists as either monsters or demons, terrorists threatening, quote, our headquarters abroad, unquote. At best, people fall in prey to a blind faith out of time. Grotesque visions, which would be somewhat laughable if they did not then have the anti-democratic implications we see. Anarchist thought, which in recent years has appeared philosophically the most interesting and the most productive, is part of today's cultural and political context. And certainly there is no comparing it with fascism and post-fascism, which should have been excluded from our cultural and political context instead. In short, is Cospito in 41 Beasts because he's an anarchist? Let us hope that on behalf of Italian citizens, Minister Nordio will intervene by February 12th to remove 41 Beasts. It is already too late. Cospito's life, the rights of all of us, and this democracy depend on it.
This is Alanis from The X Worker. It's February 6th, 2023, and we're speaking with a friend from Rome who is involved in the struggle to defend Alfredo Cospito, who has been on hunger strike for over 100 days against the 41 Beasts prison regime in Italy. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks to you.
Tell us how you learned about Alfredo Cospito and what inspired you to become involved in the effort to show solidarity with him.
Okay, yeah, Alfredo Cospito is an anarchist comrade that it is kind of well known in Italy since at least 10 years and even before. So everyone that was in anarchist galaxy, let's say that, know about him. And that's why we are involved in this struggle in solidarity with him. I don't belong to any organization, and I speak strictly for myself. That's something I wanted to add at the beginning of our discourse.
Tell us about the background behind the 41 Beasts regime of severe repression in prison.
Yeah, okay. The 41 Beasts regime is a provision of the penal code and jail code that, as usual, at the beginning, it was just a decree with force of law that was limited in time and space. It was a hard prison just for contain revolts in the prisons. That has been coded in 1975, and then in 1986, and step by step became, of course, as usual, from an exceptional measure made by the government to a law. So from the executive to the legislative. And it's not anymore perimetered and limited to revolt in jails, but is something that, of course, could be given as a special particular regime to different people. It has been, it turned into a law with the 1992 massacre made by mafia in Sicily, close to Palermo in Capaci. And this is the first time that this hard prison regime has been used against a political prisoner, and that's why there is all this mess in Italy right now.
How is 41 Beasts and Alfredo's struggle connected to the larger political context in Italy with the far right's recent rise to power? Why is this happening to Alfredo right now?
Yeah. No, it's a mess because, of course, the Alfredo Cospito affair, let's say that, is instrumentalized by all the parties. First of all, the extreme right that now is in parliament want to show off to be extreme severe and to not deal with anarchists or terrorists. And that's why they are ignoring the hunger strike by Alfredo. I want to remember also that maybe it reconnects with the question before. Alfredo is in 41 bis because the judges, the magistrates declared the 285 law of the penal code that condemned a person for a crime against the security of the state, for a massacre against the security of the state. And it's clear to anyone that with the action that the judges want to put to Alfredo and Anna Beniamino, no one had been injured and there were no victims. So it's super unproportional, the measure they have taken against Alfredo. That's why it is super instrumentalized by every kind of party. And they are struggling between them, the Democratic Party, and also the far right. And they are also building something super creepy and ridiculous. Like, for example, last week, they declared that anarchists, last week, 10 days ago, they declared that anarchists, they are dealing with mafia just because Alfredo was talking with the only other people that they have in that regime, in the 41 bis regime, that of course are mafia people, because the 41 bis regime has been built for contrasting the mobsters and mafia people in Italy. So they tried, the news reporter, rigorous news reporter, they tried to connect anarchism and mafia just because Alfredo was talking with the only people he could talk to that are mafia people. And they are trying to instrumentalize this for a strategy of tension that is super, super difficult to unpack and to decode. Because in the same time, also a super important mafia boss has been caught in the same time that public opinion is fighting around the 41 bis. So it is super, super difficult to encode what is happening, what's going on in here.
What is the significance of anti-prison struggles for anarchists in Italy today? How do prisoner solidarity campaigns connect to the larger visions of liberation that anarchists are fighting for?
Okay, of course, for anarchists today, as always, the anti-prison struggle is always been and is super important. And of course, taking the Cospito affair, anarchists are not trying just to say in a humanistic way, no, Alfredo is a human being that doesn't deserve the 41 bis, but they're pushing a little bit further this kind of struggle to say, okay, this is the logic, the repressive logic of a neoliberal state, of a democratic state like Italy, to deal with problems, to deal with people that have been condemned to this kind of regime with no injuries and no victims. Of course, anarchists try to expand this kind of discourse to all the prison and on the prison society we are living in, where this kind of state creates the conditions of poverty, of misery, of struggle between poor, and then put people in jail. So the discourse is way, way wider, let's say so.
What has been the response of anarchist and radical movements in Italy to 41 bis in Alfredo's case?
Okay, anarchists and similar people from the beginning, but also before the beginning of Alfredo hunger strike, started this struggle for Alfredo with Alfredo. Just in the last months, let's say that, also other part of the Antifa left, they kinda jumped into the same struggle. We hope it's not too late, but right now In the last 2 weeks, the situation has been kind of hectic, but also exciting, because high school guys and girls and university students jumped into the struggle. And it ended up on the last Thursday, where there have been the occupation, the squatting, the occupation of the literature department of La Sapienza University of Rome by students and comrades. On the last Saturday, there was a big demonstration in Rome with 1,500, 2,000 people. And yes, this is the situation right now.
Can you tell us a bit about the solidarity organizing for Alfredo and how that connects to conversations in Italy over questions of organization in the anarchist galaxy?
I would like to say that we have seen here in Rome that whenever we didn't fall in the trap of being in a dialectic with power, because they want that, they want to show how much macho they are, how much strong they are. Every time we didn't fall in this trap, it has been fun and it has been useful. So we saw from the act of the processes to Alfredo and the other repressive processes that police, judges, magistrates, they are craving for a strong subject. They are craving for an association. They are craving for leaders. They want anarchists or similars to have a pyramidal structure, to have an organization, and in this way to be controlled, easier to be controlled. And that's why Alfredo is in 41 bis right now, because they say 41 bis is the only regime in Italy that allows us to cut every bound between the leader and the organization. And the 41 bis regime was made for mafia bosses to cut every relations between them. And so we have seen that every time we don't act as a subject, as a strong subjectivity, we don't act as a structure that we don't have in reality, every time that we lose this kind of identity and subjectivity, it has been super, super helpful. That at the same time doesn't mean that we or whoever don't need to organize. It means more that probably we should not create a strong subjectivity, because strong subjectivities jumped in a way or another in a dialectic with power. And being in dialectic with power is always an arm wrestling. And we don't need that, in my opinion. I don't know. That's what I feel to suggest to comrades all around the world.
What can people listening do to show solidarity and to try to help to save Alfredo's life?
Okay, this is up to every sensibility and to the creativity of the people around the world. Of course, to put pressure on the Italian state is always useful. Like 10 days, 2 weeks ago, there have been problems in the Italian embassies in Barcelona, in Athens, in Berlin, in Venezuela, in Chile, there have been a demonstration, whatever. And so, I don't know, to let Alfredo not feel alone and to let all the comrades in here too to not feel alone in this struggle. But, of course, it is up to the sensibilities of everyone how to deal with it.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much to you for your questions for the solidarity. We really appreciate it here in Rome. And keep us posted.
And that's all for this episode of The X Worker. For links to the text versions of what you've just heard, or to listen to more podcast episodes, audio zines, and audiobooks from our collective, check out our website at crimethink.com/podcasts. The X Worker, an audio strike against a monotone world. For everyone who dreams of a life off the clock. Thanks for listening.